okay?
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. I'm thinking that it was going to start saying whatever it says when they want to welcome, but thanks for joining us, beloved friends of Tweaking Vibrations Blog Talk Radio. We appreciate you joining us. Today's part two of our Sacred Contract conversation, with the emphasis being one-on-one. So thank you so much for joining us. And today, Kathy's going to co-host as well. So, Kathy, you there, dear?
I'm here. Hey there, Valerie.
Rock and roll.
Yes. I know. Well, we were going to continue talking about sacred contracts and divine appointments with our one-on-one, a soulmate or our mother, our father, really close relationships in our life. And so last week we kind of talked in general about soul groups and all the way from your neighborhood to your family to your friends and your even your country and the world. Obviously, we all have a soul connection to everyone on the planet and a responsibility to serve and to help everyone reach their highest potential spiritually. So because we talked about this conversation is a lot more serious, a lot more evolved, and a lot more important to our soul's growth because they're very evolved relationships. And so obviously the funnest one to talk about is our soulmate. And
yeah.
You know all about soulmates. And there are great loves in our lives, in all of our lifetimes, and then there's our soulmate. And it's different. It's like we were talking earlier when we were gabbing on the phone with each other, like great teachers. There were lots of great teachers that evolved, and then there was Jesus. And so, you know, that relationship with our soulmate is from the beginning of, started at our creation. And I did a cruise with Sylvia Brown. I went on a cruise with her, and we talked about soulmates. And it was interesting to me, her perspective on soulmates was that they rarely incarnate together, that a lot of times the soulmate will stay on the other side and help to guide the thoughts, and because they're so connected to our thoughts, us move forward on our path for total enlightenment. And I thought that was an interesting perception, but I've read a book that I was telling you about earlier when we were girl gabbing too about called You Were Born Again to Be Together, and it's about soulmates incarnating again and again, and it was through past life regressions that this book evolved, and oh God, it was so beautiful. And we know the difference when we're with a soulmate. We know that from the magnetic forces that bring us together and the feelings that we encounter and that come up in that relationship, that it's very sacred and very different from most. And, of course, we all, if we don't have that person in our life, we yearn for them. And we know when we find them, and we know when they're there. We don't always connect. We don't always keep our word with each other. Sometimes they're off course or we're off course, and it just doesn't happen. But they still come into our... There's no way we're not going to come into each other's airspace, as I call it, because of the magnetic forces that draw us together. And so it's really a beautiful, beautiful relationship. And it's about not feeling disconnected from spirit so much, because because there's a feeling of home with them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I was going to say, you know, some of the things that you want to share a little bit, like I know, and I was looking at my numerology, which was really interesting, that somebody mm-hmm. said that in my later life I'll start meeting some of my soul family. But I know
people
that have, like, you know, literally stepped out all my life. And I called them earth angels, but I'm thinking in relationship to this topic that they were probably sacred contracts that we agreed
mm-hmm.
to, you know, prior to coming, and at those divine moments, for whatever reason, going through transitions or, you know, just huge transformational events, that we were together in them. And do you think that even if we yearn for them or we have a close relationship, Kathy, is it sometimes challenging because maybe in one lifetime some of these things were acted out, but then in this lifetime those things don't serve in this lifetime, kind of like, you know,
yeah.
we're cleaning up or releasing or letting go. And so the relationship might not be as smooth as it
Well, it's not always going to be. But we might have agreed to come because things are not always smooth because you don't always learn when things go smooth. I tell people, you know, if everything's blissfully wonderful all the time, we'd be in a spirit world. We wouldn't be here. So we came here to feel the diversity of the emotion and to go through the growth that we cannot encounter there on such a rapid level as we do in the earth plane. And so they might come to be that. They might not come to be that. We have this image, a sense of love, of a great love. It's going to be, a perfect love and bliss in heaven and on earth, and, you know, we're just, everything's going to go smoothly. But sometimes the ones that love us the most come to give us the hardest lessons to learn, and they might be standing in a place of a teacher that we might think, I've run into the devil himself, you know, and when actually it's an angel in disguise, it's an angel, it's a spirit that loves us that came to move us down the path of our intention for our soul's enlightenment. So I think that we here in the physical put a face on what a soulmate's supposed to look like, and it might just be that very person that caused us the most growth might have come to love us from a whole other level than what we perceive to be what they're supposed to do from this, from our spirit, from our physical eyes. Does that make sense? So sometimes people show up to be that for us that we think is not love, but it is. It's just tough love. And so I like to think of the fairy tale part one better, the handsome prince on the white horse and all that. I like that a lot better, but that's not realistic. The reality of it is sometimes they show up in a form of somebody that would only do that for us. They would do that for us because they loved us deeply, and they knew that we needed the growth from that in order to evolve through time.
Now, you were talking about, you know, what I've always learned also or shared, and maybe you might have heard this too, there's a difference between what they coin twin flames and then soulmates, because soulmates don't always have to be a romantic relationship. It could be bestest friends, or it could
also be,
like you said, about teachers, you know, that are challenging. And they show up, and you just know them. You
know
it's,
that,
it's almost
yes.
like you... They're familiar. They're familiar about yeah. about.
There's a soul. You know, there's a soul recognition, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and is, your practices might take up time. I mean, I remember meeting people in the oddest of places, and then all of a sudden they tell me their whole life story, and I you know, question like, why don't they tell me all that information? But I think in that moment there was a connection, and it was just
right.
in that moment, and then we moved on, and then I've met some other people that were so. Blissfully amazing. I mean, beyond their appearance, and
right.
I was astounded. I was astounded
right.
at their presence, and it definitely was a spiritual encounter, a definite sacred mm-hmm. contact that felt it activated my spiritual,
right.
you know, me consciously about that.
Mm-hmm.
So that
mm-hmm.
was something different about sacred contracts. But do you know? Sometimes I've heard that the twin flame. They're definitely a spiritual agreement, and you have a spiritual relationship with them, and they're not necessarily here to be quote unquote your, you know, your love of your life or your
right.
girlfriend
right.
or boyfriend
right.
kind of thing.
They could just be somebody you feel an immense. Right. They didn't sign up for that, you know, and you might not meet them till the end of your life. You know, the point is, you know, when we plan our lives before we come into the physical. We meet with our guides and the people that we're going to share our lives with, and we talk, we plan it out, not just for ourselves, but for each other. And for this, you know, maybe I was too timid in my last life, and I really need to learn to come out of myself and step into my power, you know, and what has to happen to help me do that, you know, and we get to plan. This is our free will, in my opinion, and in that free will, we work all these things through. Now, we don't have to keep it. A lot of it we do automatically keep, but we can step off course and really regress if we, but we know when we do. You know that feeling of the hair stands up on the back of your neck, you go, this isn't right. You know, this don't feel right. Nothing about this feels right. Well, it's just not for you. You didn't plan that. And that's your angels talking to you, trying to get you back on path. And so to keep, because you have a commitment with yourself, first and foremost, and to be true to yourself and to live your life on track and live your life on plan, so that all these people will cross your path, so that you can, you know, keep your feet in the path that you of intention that you planned yourself, you know, in compliance with God and your angels, and that this is what you needed and that this is what was best for you, and then the contracts you promised to keep as well. All those things are very, very important, and how we know these things are right is by that feeling in our chakra system, in the core of our being, that this feels right or this feels wrong. And so a twin soul is somebody that is mimics your, matches your vibration. Does that make sense? And you're naturally going to flow with that person and find that person, and you serve one another again and again and again and again from both sides of the veil. It's not so unlike a soulmate. It's just not the exact same thing.
So, Cher, you know, we'll take a little bit. I would love for you to share that story we were talking about, Kathy, earlier about that love affair, that they, you know, definitely came back in various lifetimes that you have been reading about. Do you want to say more about that?
Right.
That would be
right.
Beautiful.
Wasn't that beautiful? I was reading it last. I woke up in the middle of the night, and I've been trying to get with Valerie. We haven't been able to get together on our girlfriend time because I've got her a copy of this book, and she said she thinks she's already got it, but it's a book called Journey of Souls, and I think the writer, it's Michael Newton, I think that's his, I'm not very good with names, unfortunately, but anyway, I read his book years ago, and I pulled it out to read it again, and he does past life regressions, and through his past life regressions, he was talking to this woman. And she was going through, the coolest thing is it's about life between life. It's about, he likes to take them into the spirit, to what's going on in the spirit world. And as they go back to the spirit world, she was meeting some of the loves and the people that had passed in her life before her. And so this guy comes into her path, and I cannot remember his name, but I think it was Tommy. And she said, oh, my love, my Tommy. And she says, well, who is it? She said, he was my husband in my last life, and I love him, and I've spent so many lifetimes with him, and I just love him and love him. And he said tears were pouring down her face, and he's trying to question her about what's going on around her. And she says, don't interrupt me with these questions. Let me enjoy this moment with him, because he's not in this life with her. And they were hugging, and he said, what's a hug like? She said, well, because they're in spirit form, and explain the spirit form is like a white energy, a white light, and they are just, their energies form together. And she said it's like being wrapped in a warm blanket of love. And so I thought, what a beautiful story. And I thought about my children and when they were born, and I feel like you do with your children. I feel a very, very strong spiritual connection with all three of them. But when they were born, I loved them like I had known them from forever, and I have known them forever. And there was this, I was cloaked in love all over my being, and they were from me, and I am from them, and that is that feeling. And so when we encounter that, then that is a sign that is a very sacred spiritual contract. And I advise people to really look at it differently. A lot of times it scares people, and they run that loving feeling. It scares them, and they don't want to embrace it. But I encourage them to really look seriously at that. If somebody brings up that kind of feeling in them, to really, really, really make sure that this isn't a very sacred contract that they need to show up for and see where the lessons are. And even if it turns sour sometimes, that's where when it gets hard sometimes, that's where the lesson truly is. And you can get beyond it, and you can get the growth from it. And you can, sometimes when it's over, it's over. And you let go of one another, because it only has so much energy to exist. And when that energy's gone, then it turns into a negative experience. So, you know, we don't always agree to come forever for somebody. And so it's important that that we examine within ourselves the emotions and the feelings that something brings up in us, and that we pay close attention, because I believe if we don't do it and we don't hit the mark, then we come back and do it again. And, you know, how many times you want to come back and sing the same song over and over again? You know, you want to make sure and learn the lesson and move beyond it, so that more growth can come. So, but anyway, what a pretty story. Wasn't that a pretty story? Makes me want to go to spirit and see my daddy. Yeah, I know it.
Well, you know, I it was interesting because I had a past life reading, and, you know, we're talking about doing one of those past life regression shows, and I'd love to, you know, we're going to have some more people on that want to talk about having those same experiences.
That'd be great.
Yeah, but I think that, you know, like you said about the sacred contract is, you know, sometimes in the past life regressions, there are missed moments. I mean, I was thinking, I had such a strong tie to my current relationship, and it was like being with them, and they were very familiar. But then, you know, in my middle of my 30s, we ended up getting married shortly after we met, and we ended up having a daughter together. And, you know, it seemed like after we had our daughter, things changed. You know, we went on, we started like almost going on an individual life path, and it caused a lot of challenges for me because, you know, I mean, I had that idealistic romantic thing going on, but it also activated a lot of my deeper, you know, going deeper and finding out what is this process, you know, letting go of all these ideals in culture and community about till death do us part kind of thing. And then I had last year a weekend workshop, and in that weekend workshop I had in my body was activated a past life experience. And, you know, if you would have told me this procedure, I would have laughed. I'm an open skeptic. But it was in the 1800s. I was married, and I was arguing with my father. I was married to someone. I was very young, and I ended up, they died, both my father and this person, and that I was married to, and I died in childbirth. And when they started talking, when they started talking about the process of me being married, I felt my body like I was pregnant, and it was the most strangest experience. But I believe in that moment of, it's like insight, the light bulb going off, that this was my redo with my current relationship and my daughter, that we meant because we...
Your youngest daughter?
Yes.
Your youngest daughter?
Gabby. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she came faster than the other two children, and she was here, and I have a definite sacred contract with her, and she has a sacred contract with the earth in ways with animals that is... just amazing the way that animals respond to her. So I know she was meant. She chose us prior to her birth, and I really believe not only that, but there was a lot of healing that came out in her relationship with her father that actually healed some of mine. So now I'm at peace about, you know, where our relationship is taken and where it's gone, but it was powerful. I had no idea.
Are you talking about with your husband?
Yeah.
Your relationship with your husband? Yeah,
it was not meant so much to be the death to your part as it was that we were coming together to celebrate Gabby, and she chose us to be that. And, you know, it was very powerful to be able to have that peace. And also understand about my father, you know, I had a really interesting, I mean, he was close to me. He named me this lifetime, but yet emotionally he was always at a distance. And so it was helpful for me to understand, even in that lifetime, what we brought in and what I brought in to heal and what he, you know, co-agreed to. So you're right. It's like, pay attention, sensitive to those people and circumstances and places in your life that doesn't make logical sense at all, but your body can you know, let you know. Your sense, your sixth sense can let you know that this is a familiar connection, and this is a sacred divine appointment. And pay attention.
And it may not fit that which our physical development tells us that it's supposed to be. That's where the confusion. But I find great comfort in knowing that every night when I go to sleep, that my soul consults with my guides, and I rely on that to help bring me clarity and peace. Peaceful thoughts in situations that sometimes rock me to my core. And so we have to know that we chose this path, that we chose these people, that they chose us, and that if we don't try to exert our influence and our desire for the outcome, that it will go where it's supposed to go. But so many times we want that control thing in us comes out, and we've got a way that we see it ending and we see it playing out, and it doesn't match what we planned. So you're going to constantly run into a battle for the ball, I call it. You know, it's my ball, I want it. You know, no, who's got control is the question. And so sometimes when we just take a deep breath and release it to be what was intended, then it's more beautiful than what we could have imagined or made happen, or it ends like it was supposed to. And so, or it turns into what it was supposed to be, which could just be a great respect and friendship of two people that decided to come into this world and have a child and support that child and love it, and as a partnership, as parents of a child. That doesn't mean you're going to have a great love for always, you know, because if you were, it would be there. And so, but it's not that it's not love. It's actually a beautiful love. It is what it is, you know. And then we kind of throw it up against what we think that a marriage should look like, and it doesn't, you know, match the picture. And so then we think something's wrong with it. Well, no, not necessarily. You know, it is what it is, and bless it for what it is, and let it be what it is. That's the hard part. But, boy, when we find our soulmates and we know that if they incarnate with us at all, you know, there's that might just be a great, great love, somebody that came to experience a great love with you in this lifetime, or that somebody that, you know, that you've been with in other lifetimes that you didn't complete the lesson. So you said, I'll tell you, I'll take it up with you in this lifetime, and let's see where our paths should cross. And you plan that. So, boy, sometimes we're back here hanging on like the Dickens to something that really needs to be let go of and missing that which is out there for us. And that's what, you know, that's where the faith and hope comes in, faith comes in to play. You know, you got to spread your wings and take that step and know that that there will be air beneath your wings and that you will fly to your destination, that life will take you there in the flow that was of intention. And so I find these sacred contracts and these great loves and they are so embracing. They are so loving. I love it. I don't spend a lot of my time with a lot of people that I don't feel that great love with, because I want to drink it in from them and them to drink it in from me. And I don't want to spend my time with people that with souls that I really did not contract to stay with for very long. I learned this from being Daddy's daughter, and him being such a huge entertainer, people were constantly after his time and his attention, and they would take it from those that Daddy spent his life with, and they didn't care. They just wanted to be near, you know, Conway Twitty. They didn't care. And so I saw this as a child. It was a great life lesson, and I am very, very protective of the relationships in my life, and I do not go out and spend my energy in directions that I don't feel like that I contracted for it to go. And because I'd rather be with just me than to go out and just spend time just to hang out. I'm not like that. And so, I devote a lot of time and love to the people in my life that I feel that I have a sacred contract with. And I think that I'm being true to myself when I do that, as well as being true to them. So, life's beautiful. We planned it, and we can enjoy it, we can go with the flow, and we can find all these beautiful love contracts and all these wonderful lessons, or we can fight it and swim upstream our whole life and make it harder than it's supposed to be and never bump into those that we intended to love and know and learn from and teach. And so I think that the most important lesson in hoping, if you haven't found that great love or you know there's great loves in your life, is to experience it with them, to be there in the moment, to not let fear guide you, but to step into it with your whole heart and show up. And that's what's called living in the moment. Be there with all that you are. If you have baggage, dump it. Don't take it into this. And experience it with your whole heart and see where it takes you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's so funny when my son was born, and I believe that my children, I always said, oh, my gosh, you guys are popping up, and it's like I'm drinking water and I get pregnant. And what was interesting, each birth was different. And I just thought about something intuitively, because in the chat room we were talking about children and how we could be closer, not like one favoritism, but it's almost like we have a sacred contract closer to one, and perhaps
or grandchildren,
other children, maybe our children have more of a sacred contact with the other parent. But
right.
Anyway, when I had my son, it was a huge miracle, and even to this day, it was so funny. One time we were talking, and I said, "Well, I married your father because you were." To have you. And he goes, but Mom, I'm going to tell you. And it was so funny. He was not, but 14, maybe 13, 14. He goes, it wouldn't have mattered if you married my dad, because I would have been with you no matter what. And boy, you talk about chills. He said, I may not look the same, but we would have found each other. And
That's right.
He was always saying some things like that. And then when Callum came in, I have three amazing souls. I am so blessed and honored. They're all my teachers. And then when Callum came in, it was like I almost gave birth to him. We knew each other so intimately, and even today when he comes over, he is very jealous of somebody.
This
talking
is your grandbaby.
And so, and he's 3 years old. And one day I said, you don't want your mom talking to me when you're here. And he goes, that's right.
Yeah, but babies are so spiritual. Our little grandbabies and our children, when they're little, they're so fresh from the spirit that they're not separated by ego or by learned experience or taught experience, and they're so pure. And so it's such a real thing with them. And the bonds, I have three beautiful grandsons, but one of my grandchildren, there is a powerful bond with. I have a powerful spiritual bond with. And I recognize this. I don't treat him any better or any different or any, and I don't treat the other ones any worse or, but I understand this. And he looks at me with those eyes, and I know he knows. And so as much as I do, and his mother's like, well, he'd crawl over me to get to you. And I'm like, well, I'm the grandmother. I'm supposed to have that bond with him, but in truth, it's a very deep spiritual bond, and she doesn't necessarily think like I do, but I see it and I know it and I recognize it and I will honor it, and so I honor my contract with all my kids and my grandchildren, but this one particular grandchild, I don't know where it's going to go, but I know that I came to help him, because he's so sensitive and he's going to be he's very spiritual, and I know that I came to help him understand this within himself as he matures. Mm-hmm. And that's what you've got with your little fella.
Yes, and you know what, our beautiful friends, is our time is up.
Oh, oh. Well, they ought to get, be on the phone with you and me. We can talk for hours. Yeah.
We're gonna wrap this up, but you know, you can find out more information about us at tweakingyourvibrations.com. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we will be back, and we're gonna have some interviews coming up with some people that are so beautiful and inspiring in the world. So thanks everybody for joining us. Till next time, remember, who you are is greater than all that you are doing out in the world. Thank you for joining us. Blessings, everybody. Bye-bye.